In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. In today's gospel, it says our Lord had compassion on the multitude. And I'd like to draw our attention to the compassion that God has for people and remind us that we are supposed to be imitators of Christ. He has come to give us a role model. And as he says, learn of me, for I am meek and humble of heart. So we must learn of him and his compassion. And in order to demonstrate what I mean by this compassion, I have a children's story for you, because I understand we like children's stories. You know how a bunch of boys, when they get together, like to run and play and chase each other, and they can be pretty rough. Well, there was a group of boys running through the city one day, and they were chasing each other, and just as they came around the corner, there was an old man in a dirty coat, and they knocked him down on the ground. And most of the boys just kept on running. They didn't even stop. But one boy, he stopped, and he asked the old man, "Are you okay? Can I help you up? And I'm sorry that we knocked you down." Apologized for himself and his friends, and he tips his hat to the old man. And then he runs and catches up with his buddies, and his buddies say, "What did you tip your hat to that old bum for? He's nobody." And the young man said, "Well, my dad told me it doesn't matter whether that man is a gentleman or not, but I must always be the gentleman. I must always have compassion on others. I must always do what is right. It doesn't matter whether that man is good or bad, whether he's rich or poor. The decent thing to do is to help him up, to be polite, to tip your hat to him, to show him respect. That's the decent thing to do. And I must do the decent thing. Whether he deserves it or not, that's on him. Whether I treat him decently or not, that's on me. God expects me to be the gentleman. My Father expects me to be the gentleman, regardless of whether anyone else is or not." And we see this in the life of Christ. The scribes and Pharisees were scandalized because Christ talked to poor people. He talked to sinners. He ate with them. And they were scandalized. And he says, "I came for these." He shows them the respect, even his own apostles. Our Lord sat down at the well, and the Samaritan woman came and talked to him. When the apostles returned and they saw our Lord talking to a Samaritan woman, they're scandalized. But yet it was through this woman that he converted all her neighbors and friends. Christ reached so many more by showing compassion to people. So many are eager to dismiss children. They aren't important. But who did our Lord turn to when the apostles asked them, "Who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" Do you know that story, Veronica? No? Oh, my goodness. The apostles were vying with one another. "Who's going to be the greatest in your heaven, in kingdom, when you get there, Lord? Which one of us is going to be the best? Which one of us is going to have the best place, the highest place?" Because we all want the best place. We want the highest place. We want to be the greatest. And our Lord took a little child, picked up that little child, put the child on his lap, and he says to his apostles, "If you want to get to heaven, you must become like this little child. The greatest in heaven are those who become like this little child. This little child is what makes up the kingdom of heaven." And he tells us that this little child has an angel in heaven before God right at this very moment. And I say this not so you children can say, "See, we're better." because we often confuse childishness with childlikeness. Childishness is very selfish, but childlikeness is innocence, is holiness. The true child prays from the depths of his heart. The true child weeps tears of repentance, not because my father is going to punish me, but because I've disappointed my father who truly loves me. I've let him down. I haven't acted as I should act. And in my story I gave you of the young boy, I am certain that his father was very pleased with his actions. You knocked an old man down, a poor man. It doesn't matter that he's poor. It doesn't matter that he's old. You acted as the gentleman. You acted in a Christ-like manner. This is what even little children can do. And this is what our Lord tells us we must do for one another. And we need to avoid that tendency of the world to look at the old man, well, I don't want to go near him. He's poor. I don't even want to be seen with him. I don't want to be associated with him. Or this one is that, or whatever it may be, that we want to distinguish ourselves and say, I am better than that man there. When we say that, we become like the Pharisee. I am better than that man there, Lord, and I thank you. I'm not like the rest of men. Our Lord tells us that that man was not justified. That man was not pleasing to God. But the publican who stood off and struck his breast and said, Lord, be merciful to me, the sinner. That man received favor from God. That man who is ashamed of his sins, not in comparison to somebody else, but in comparison to Christ, that man is pleasing to God. That simple, childlike humility, that simple, childlike obedience. And we too often forget that the graces, the gifts that God has given us, He gave them to us for the benefit of others. The old people, when I was a child, used to say that youth is wasted on the young. You see, those young, they have all this energy, but they don't know what to do with it. That energy is a grace from God. That energy is a gift for God. And their children must be guided in how to use that energy to give greater honor and glory to God. The young boy who decides, oh yes, I'm stronger than my buddies. I'm the strongest. I can beat them all. And he's very proud of his strength. God didn't give him that strength so he could be a bully. And that strength is not his, but it's a gift from God. God could just as easily have made him a weakling. Could have made him sick, unhealthy. Could have made him a cripple. He can't even walk or run. But no, God gave this little boy strength and vigor so that he could run and play and knock down old men as he's running by. He has that strength. But what does God want him to do with that strength? What does God want him to do with that energy? Not go around knocking old people down or bullying kids for their lunch money. Not becoming obnoxious to other people. What does God want of that little giant? God wants him to be a gentle giant. God wants him to be a gentleman, to use his strength to help others, to pick others up when they fall, to defend those who can't defend themselves, to be kind, generous, helpful, That's why God gave the little boy this strength, so he could be a true gentleman. And I could go through each and every one of the graces or virtues that God gives us. To some he gives this, and to some he gives that. But whatever it is God has given us, we must humble ourselves and say, I have this gift from God. How can I use it for God? How can I please God? How can I serve God with the gifts that he has given me? And for you young men, I say, you must learn to be the gentleman, like the young boy in today's story. You must learn to be like Christ. I have compassion on the multitude. I have compassion for the weaker ones. I have compassion for the older ones. I have compassion for any of those who have less than I have. And I want to share my gifts with them. I want to help them for the love of God. And I can say the same for the young ladies. What gifts has God given you? Life, vitality, joy. Help those who are down and out. Bring a smile to someone's face. Do what you can to help someone else. Have compassion on others. Which brings me around to a whole nother circle. How do we receive others' compassion? I recently heard a story about a young man. He said he wanted to be the gentleman. He sees a woman carrying her groceries to the car, and he offers to help her, and she is insulted. She is now a free woman. She can help herself. She doesn't need anyone else to care for her. And the young man says, well, I guess I shouldn't help women anymore. And my advice is, no, you must continue to be the gentleman. You must continue to offer, even if you're rebuked, even if you're laughed at and mocked, doing the right thing should always be our goal. Whether people receive it well or ill, whether they reject us, whether they laugh at us, we must continue to be the gentleman. And I am pretty sure that if you continue to be the gentleman, there will be those in the world who will accept that, who will receive it well. But I would say to such young women, appreciate that someone else has compassion for you, that someone else cares for you, that someone else wants to do a good deed for you. Don't deny them that opportunity to do good. And even if you think you can do it yourself, as every child believes, isn't that right, Amos? You believe you can do it yourself? I don't need any help. Sometimes we have to humble ourselves and say, yes, help me. You want to help me? I want you to help me. I can be certain that your father doesn't need your help most of the time, but he is very happy when you want to help him. He's very happy when you want to be with him. And he will even let you help him, even if it is, just hand me that hammer. Get me that screwdriver. And very often the adults will say, it's faster if I just do it myself. But they do appreciate when their children want to help, when their children want to do something, when their children want to be involved. And we are all children. We are all dependent upon one another. I think the biggest tragedy is at one point in our life, we come to the conclusion, I don't need any help. We refuse help. Don't ever try to help me again. But then when you're in need of help, no one is going to come. They will say, well, I tried to help you once. I'm not going to make that mistake again. All I got for my efforts was to be laughed at, ridiculed, mocked. You must wake up to the reality that we are all in need. We could all use a helping hand. And we should all be able to give a helping hand. We should all have compassion on one another. Not just our family, not just our friends, not just our neighbors, but even the poor man with a dirty coat, the old people, the children who are too noisy and obnoxious and they hurt my ears when they scream. We need to have compassion on them all, because every one of us can be annoying to someone in some place in some time. We can only expect that some people will be annoying to us. But we never have an excuse not to be kind, not to be courteous, not to have compassion. If Christ were to imitate us, he would never have come to this earth. Why should I bother with these people? They're no good. They're evil. Why should I bother helping them? They won't even appreciate it. They won't even say thank you. If God imitated us, Christ would never have come to this world. And he would have said, destroy them all. That would be fun. No, but that's not God. He is a loving God. He is a loving Father. And he says, I have compassion on the multitude. I have compassion for my children. I love them. I will come. I will be the gentleman. I will offer the help I have to give to them, even if they don't receive it well. Even if they mock me, even if they spit upon me, even if they condemn me to death, even if they nail me to the cross, I will go and have compassion on them, and I will help them. And just maybe through this compassion, I will win their hearts to me. This is how Christ acted. And we are Christians. By the very name Christian, we are a follower of Christ. Christ is living within us when we receive the sacraments, especially the sacrament of the Holy Eucharist. And so I ask you, are you compassionate for your fellow men as Christ is compassionate for you? Are you carrying out Christ's will, God's will, into the world with you? Do you love the brethren as Christ has loved you? Do you do good to the brethren as Christ has done good to you? Do you look at yourself and say, what virtues, what graces, what gifts has God given me? And how can I use them for the benefit of those around me? That is my goal. That is my lesson for us all. To learn from this young man the same lesson that his father taught him. It doesn't matter what anyone else is. I must be the Christian. I must be the gentleman. I must have compassionate. I must be helpful. I must be courteous. Because this is what God has given to me. This is what God wants me to do for my brethren, for those in the world, for my neighbors. And when I begin to do this, I can begin to truly say with St. Paul, it is not I, but it is Christ living within me. Benedictio Dei Omnipotentis, Patris, et Filii, et Spiritus Sancti descendet super vos, et maniat semper. Amen.